Let's roll. Co-pilot on the passenger side, we so fly. She so lit, we so high. Just me and my chick, yeah. Just me and my chick, yeah. Co-pilot on the passenger side, we so fly. She so lit, we so high. Just me and my chick, yeah. Just me and my chick, yeah. She give me eggs. Yo, 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 what up, y'all? Welcome to another one, man. It's your boy, Rod One, and this is Sparking Conversation. And y'all know what I do each and every week, man. I get up here and I talk to some of the world's most interesting people, and I'm going to do the same thing tonight. So before I get started, right, and before I bring my guest up, y'all know how I do each and every week. I got to give it up to all the people that download the audio version of this platform because y'all the real MVPs, I promise. Everybody says this when they get into this podcast game. They get discouraged because, you know, they mostly focus on the visual part and they don't understand that, yo, doing this right here is really about the audio. That's what podcasting is. Some of the major, the biggest podcasters in the world, they got an audio version. And that's how they was able to negotiate all their deals and get as much money as they needed, because it wasn't just people looking at them. It was people listening to them. And that's what people want. You want the people ear. Right. So listen, double shout out to all the people that download the audio version of this platform, yo. So I'm gonna give y'all a shout out each and every week. Y'all know how we do. Secondly, let me do this, man, because y'all keep telling me, Rod, you don't be sharing your live, yo. And you know, I just be getting into it. Right? Because you know, that's the whole thing. Sometimes you gotta take a step back sometime and do all the other little parts too. So this is what we're gonna do. I'm going to go ahead and share the joint in some of the groups. So look, all of y'all out there that be hitting me up, man, I want to let y'all know that I appreciate y'all. All the people that give me feedback, all the people that let me know that they watching, they listening. Even though at times whenever y'all are watching live, you don't really, you know, engage in a conversation, but I still know that you guys are paying attention. And I encourage you guys that the comments always be wide open. So if there's anything at any part in the conversation that I be having with my guests, or even when I be up here dolo, and you got something you want to say and you want to get it through, come on, put it through, because I'm going to get to it, right? So you don't have to worry about that. I'm going to get to it. So let's do this real quick, because they say I don't be doing it. So I'm going to make sure that I do it, right? All right, bet. We live right now. So look. I got to give a big shout out to, first of all, Kill No One, yo. Kill No One Part 1. The joint is rolling right now. It's doing numbers. Thank y'all so much to all the people that push play on this joint. I want y'all to know, man, I really appreciate y'all, because, like I said, when you're doing this type of stuff, man, you just never know, man. You never know what it'll turn out to be. You never know who going to like it, who going to not, you know. Art is subjective, y'all. Art is subjective. So you got to be willing to have tough skin whenever you're doing these things. And you got to be willing to be in a position to know that you could get better. Like a lot of times you go, you know, there's things that people always said they wanted to do with their life, but they never took the time to do it, or they never believed in themselves to do it, or they felt like they needed all of the bells and whistles to get it done. You know what I mean? When really all you got to do is just get it done, like, you know, and do it. And yeah, it might not be, you know, the, like, you know, blockbuster and everything. Yo, what up, Barbara? Thank you so much. I appreciate you for real. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it may not be everything right away, but the fact that you're doing it, you're just putting that energy out in the atmosphere, and then what it's going to do is going to bring it right back to you. So the longer you keep crawling, eventually you're going to walk. Eventually you're going to run. So all my people out there that believe in themselves, man, keep pushing. I don't care what it is that you're doing. I don't care what's on in front of you, what's on the table. It might not look like it's doing nothing right now, but remember, not everything grows above the ground. A lot of things grows under the ground, and you're still some of the best things that you need to, you know, to replenish your body. So remember that, all right? So let's do this, man. Let's keep pushing. Let me keep motivating y'all, all right? Because I need the motivation myself, and even at times where it seems like I make it look easy, trust me, y'all, I push to make it happen. Double shout out to you too, fam. I appreciate you, bro. Word. Shout out to the influential brand as well. We got to get you back on here too, J-Man, so we can talk about that. All right.
I also want to say to everybody too out there, man, like that's been asking me about Lit Sticks. Yeah, Lit Sticks is the brand, man. The pre-roll brand, the official pre-roll brand, yo. And yeah, it's two. They got two strains. I think all together they have seven. They have two strains out right now. And they're the extra large pre-roll. So they're making it convenient for all you guys that need to get in the moment when y'all need the moment, right? When y'all need to catch that vibe. You don't need to be standing around breaking it down, having a roll up nothing, right? So y'all know what to do, man. Click the link in the description, man. Y'all can get that information and we can keep it going, yo. Y'all know Collective Wear is out there, Sparking Conversation Tees, and all merch is available as well, too. So you guys can check the links in the description if you want to support the brand, yo, and want to keep supporting the movement. I appreciate everybody who is so far that is buying and getting the merch, man, because it's dope. And we got so many different pieces out there, man. So thank y'all, man, for real. Well, so here's the thing, y'all. Y'all know what I do. Before I bring my guest up, I got to give y'all my rant for the week. And, you know, I like to have notes a lot of times because, you know, here's a couple of things I'm going to talk about because, you know, with my guest that's coming on tonight, man, we're going to talk about something. Y'all know that on this platform right here, I love to give it the lend, you know, an airway, right? A platform to people who go through things that most people always say they feel like they're the only ones, right? Because it's so many different people that I've had on the platform that have told stories of the things that they've gone through, right? The things that they have to even suffer through. And during those times that they went through that, it made it seem like that they was the only ones going through it. There are very few people that survive some of the things that my guests are able to come on here and talk about, right? Because every experience that people go through is not viewed the same way, right? We understand in our community that, you know, there's some things that happen to people that are unexpected. It's super foul. It should have never happened to them in the first place. We like to chalk it up to wrong place, wrong time. All these other things that happen to certain people, right? But we don't always realize how we are supposed to get to our purpose. And a lot of times, that be the end result of what we actually have gone through. It's not meant to break us, even though the situation is a breakable situation, right? But it's not. It's meant for you to be able to walk the path into your purpose. Because here's the thing that I know a lot of people don't think about, because the way sex is set up in our community, right? Sex is set up to the point where that's all it's about. It's about busting the nut. It's about this, that, and the third. That's all it is. But people don't understand that the creation of life, because it gets down to the point where people are battling between who has the right to take the life, who has the right to keep the life, who can say that I'm supposed to pay and who don't. We got all of these other things in the way versus us understanding that, yeah, it only takes one time. It only takes one act to get there. But let me tell y'all something. It also takes one out of a million to reach that egg. So from the door, everybody that makes it out of the womb, you are a winner. You are born a winner. The one thing about it is that I understand when it comes down to religion, a lot of people, they've learned that, you know, everybody's born in sin. And I never really understood that. Now, I get the whole concept that people say for people that are religious. They were talking about, yo, you know what I'm saying? Because your parents, and you was born through your parents and all that other shit. But look, nah, I just said it just never sat well with me that that's the way that we have to come into a place we didn't ask to come through. And if we did, in whatever the spaces is that we have to keep starting over in this life, right? You know what I'm saying? Because we keep starting over these lives. There are people who don't ascend. And I know it's people who think something differently, and that's not my business. I'm not here to convince people to think any other way. That's not my thing. I'm just saying based on what I feel and what I believe, you know. You're born a winner because, yo, it's a million. Like, yo, we carry the seed of life in us as men, yo. Let me tell you, every time we shoot that gun, yo, it's millions of bullets flowing through. And only one out of a million make it there. So even when you look at your life and you say to yourself that this can't is not possible for you, you cursing yourself because it is, because in order for you to even be here, to be here right now, to suffer or to live the life that you're supposed to live, you were one out of a million that made it. And I know on the smallest level like that, people don't think about themselves in that way, right? Because we're all told that we're not supposed to think about ourselves in a way that makes us feel good about us, or that helps us to understand that we are winners, or that whatever we really are supposed to be doing in this life, if we figure out what that is and we focus on that, that our life may not be as easy as most people, but it'll be the most fulfilling life, right? Because you could get to a place of ease for yourself. Everybody has to have a testimony. That means you got to have a test. You can't have a testimony without a test, period. Don't matter, right? And in this lifetime, you're going to get tested. I don't care who you are. And then how you pass that test is going to determine who you are as a person, or were you worth it? Because if not, then one of your brothers or sisters could have made it to that egg without you. But you made it. So listen, let's give ourselves a little bit more credit. Let's take some of that negativity off of ourselves when we think about how we're born, or we think about the things that we know we're born to do, because your purpose and some of us are going to be forced into our purpose. If you don't pick it up on your own and figure it out on your own by trying, then some of us are going to be forced into our purpose. And unfortunately, that may cause you to go through something that's really unfortunate, yo, right? In the moment that you have to go through it. But the way you persevere, the way that you give it up for yourself, the way that you fight through it, the way that you hold on to your morals and your dignity, the way that you're able to, you know, say, make it through these things is the reason why you yourself personally are going to help touch all these other winners. Because remember, the person sleeping in the park on the bench, the cat under the bridge, the people in the tents out there when you ride by the highways and you see them posted up in the tents, the people standing outside the lines of the shelters when they're giving out the food and all that, they winners too. But shit, to the most people out there, they wouldn't look at it that way. They're not looking at themselves that way. Everything that goes on in life, people don't look at it as a means to their purpose, not a means to the end. But a lot of people allow the things and make them become a means to the end. And unfortunately, they wind up in these situations. Amazing people, great people, some of the greatest minds in the world right now are sleeping under somebody's park bench, you know? And that's a fact. But what I'm saying to you is that because at some point we have never been told that we are winners from the start. We've never been told that. We've always been told what we ain't going to be, who we not, and what we can't be, and what we cannot do. Those are the things that are told to us as black men, brown men, whatever we want to call ourselves. You know, I'm getting away from all that calling ourselves a color because we're not that color. And at the same time, you know, a color is just a color. There's no identity. There's no nothing that comes with the fact that you're calling yourself a color. So we got to get off that. And I'm going to figure out a way to how to, you know, I'm catching myself, right? Because I want to be a person that could find the right words to say in place of some of this bullshit that we've been indoctrinated all the way on our way up of what we've been calling ourselves and allowing other people to call us. How they gonna call us African Americans when most of us, if you do your DNA, find out you never came from Africa. We've been here. But that's another story for another time, you know what I'm saying? But look, this is what we gonna do. I got my guest. I'm gonna bring my guest up, man. I bet, because there was a couple of other things I wanted to talk about too when it came down to that, but we're gonna hold that off for next year. Because y'all ever heard of the Melungeon people? Because look, this is some crazy shit, right? It's a bunch of people out here who don't know who they are. But now, for some reason, a bunch of them came together because of something that's going on with their hair. Their hair made them all go ahead and get DNA tests. Come to find out, every last one of them are descendants of something that got to do with black people, African, whatever you want to call it, right? A bunch of fair-skinned people that was considered to be white, that was racist and still is in the mountains of West Virginia. Like, really, these people are really was just as racist and harsh to their own people because they didn't even know it just based on how they look. Now, can you imagine how many of us are walking around here calling ourselves something and don't know exactly what the hell we are? Now they finding out they got egg on their face, and now they upset because of who they are. They've been walking around proud of it up until now. Now they figure out who they are. They mad. That's crazy. But we're going to talk about that on another show, because I want to really give that some talk, because I have a lady coming up in a couple of weeks, and she's going to break it down. Like, we're going to talk about the whole Afro-Latino thing that people go ahead and shy away from, because they feel like that we're not all connected just because we separated by certain languages. You know what I mean? Well, we're going to figure that out. But I got my guy about to come up, man. I'm about to bring him on up, man, because this conversation we're going to have tonight is going to be one for the book. So I need all of y'all that's watching, man. I need y'all to be engaged, man. Y'all got to ask some questions if y'all need to, because this brother actually went from being convicted at a very young age to being exonerated in his lifetime. And y'all know what it means to be exonerated. That means that whatever they said about you, they just let it go. They erased it. They said, my bad. They probably didn't say my bad, but you know what I mean. They was up there saying, yo, we was wrong. And you know, there's a lot of people that go through things, they never get to that point. But then there's certain people that do. But certain people that go through the things that he has gone through don't even make it to the finish line. So look, I'm going to bring my guest up right now, man, because we got to get into the show. So let me bring this brother up real quick. Yo, Teron, what up, bro?
Jeez, brother, man. How you doing? Good to see you.
Yo, we here, man. You know what I'm saying? And look, you already know, man. I'm going to be honest with you, man. I definitely appreciate you coming on the platform this evening, man, and be willing to tell your story, man, because it's a very interesting one. And, you know, the fact that you want to be transparent enough about what, you know, how what took place in your life is super dope, bro.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, facts. So let's do this, man. Let's go ahead and introduce yourself to the audience and just let them know why you're on the platform this evening, bro.
Yeah, thanks. So my name is Teron Hill. I'm originally from Camden, New Jersey. I was wrongfully convicted at the age of 18 years old. Double homicide, two murders of actually two women, you know. So just growing up in inner city communities, you can only imagine what I went through. How I felt like I never could have imagined that could have happened to me. 18 years old, brand new father. My daughter was 30 days old. My daughter was born October 28th, 2004. I was arrested December 1st, 2004.
Wow.
My entire world was shattered. I was lost, confused, didn't know what to think, how to feel. And you can imagine, man, just, you know, getting locked up, going to trial. You know, I'm innocent, so obviously I'm going to trial. A so-called jury of my peers found me guilty, sentenced me to 60 years in prison. I was forced to serve 16 and a half of those years before I was ultimately exonerated. Best feeling in the world, man. Best feeling in the world. I knew the day was going to come. I just didn't know when. I kept fighting. Pill after pill. For those who don't know, a pill process. I think, well, in Jersey, you have about 5 appeals. So, I mean, if you don't know, a pill process is after you get found guilty, you go to a higher court and you challenge that conviction. And you say, you know, that lower court was wrong, and you present your arguments and, you know, key points and stuff like that. No court heard me out. Everyone denied me until our governor, Phil Murphy out of New Jersey, started a conviction review unit, which is kind of operates like an innocence project. And They it was like 500 applicants, 500 applications, everybody, you know, writing. They accepted my case. I was their first exoneration.
Wow. Yo, that's crazy, bro. Yo, so listen, let's unpack some of that, man, before we go a little further. First of all, Camden itself. Now, I just want the audience to kind of get a kind of a glimpse of Camden, New Jersey, because Camden is different. Mm-hmm. Like I just want people to know, like, because when I'm from East Orange, right? So I'm a little further north of Camden, right? So I'm more like towards New York. Well, north and then, you know, Hoboken, and then, you know, we got New York right there. So I'm a little further north, but I've been to Camden a bunch of times for different things, and yo, it's raw out there. It gets busy out in Camden, yo. It's not a cakewalk out in Camden. You got to be very, very extra careful in Camden. So, you know, just to know that you've gone through that and you were wrongly convicted at 18. So let's talk a little bit about the situation real quick, because you were innocent, but how were you even rounded up? Like, in order to get caught up in it, was it your crew? Were you, like, how did you even get in the position to even?
Growing up in the streets, like you said, Camden, New Jersey, born and raised. Mom fell victim to the streets. You know, all my friends, none of my friends had fathers. We grew up selling drugs, hustling weed, hustling crack. And, but, you know, we were good kids. I mean, now with all this gang stuff, all that stuff today, that wasn't our era. I mean,
nah, like, not at all.
Yeah, we was hustling, you know, to pick clothes on our back, you know, stay fresh, go to school, you know, buy the girls lunch, stuff like that. And I wind up getting, it was a mistaken identity, because our so-called fit the description of the person who actually committed the crime. Right. And being as though I was familiar to the area, like a lot of people knew me around there. It was only one eyewitness. She was a drug user. And the police just used to hearing my name around the way. She gave a description, and they showed her a single photograph of me. She ain't say no name or nothing. This was one of the things that led to my exoneration. It was a faulty identification process.
Right. I mean, so was it like, did y'all have a lot of running with the local police and stuff like that? Were you feeling like a target by them? Like, how did this go where they would just have a picture of you? Were you getting arrested already for other stuff and all that? Like,
yeah, drugs. Growing up, right. You know, the task force jump out.
Run down
corners and all that stuff. And I mean, that's what I realized. You know, later on in life, of course, you grow up, you learn from your experiences and things like that. And that's why I try to tell these young guys today, just being out there makes you a target to the police. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, they don't care if you're innocent or guilty. You know what I'm saying? You hanging out there with everybody else, they ain't distinguishing between who's who. You out right here, you a loser. You know what I'm saying? Like, your name come up as something, or they ain't ciphering through whether or not you're innocent or not. They don't care about all that.
No, not at all. Especially not with the way that everything is set up right now, and a lot of the prisons being privatized, where, you know, a lot of the big companies, the record labels, and, you know, all of these people are actually owning the prisons that people are actually getting sent up into. So they got quotas, they want to fill them beds, and all they need is for you to just be in a vicinity. And they know, because they know that we bond over trauma. Right, because that's the whole purpose for gangs. And not saying that people who are in gangs, like, they might have their own reasoning. So I'm not going to speak like I'm saying for all of them. Right. But we all know certain people that were in gangs that really didn't fit the description of a person who seemed like they would need to be in the gang, because they had their family, they had their mother and father, they had, you know, just things given to them. They had, like, a whole lot of shit, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's the one thing about the ghetto, is the misconception is that because people live in an area that's impoverished, that everybody that lived there is in poverty. That's not true. Right. It's a lot of people in poverty, but it's a lot of people got spare change. They just happen to live in the areas that, you know, don't cost as much. Yeah. And they're able to fit in because, you know, family ties and things like that.
Yeah, it's that peer pressure, man. You know, you grow, like I said, all my friends was good kids, but we grow up, we seeing with the older guys what they doing. Mm-hmm. Growing up around them, they put money in our pocket, go to the store for me, and you know, you probably have one of them get caught for an actual murder. Like, but he ain't, like, you know how the media paint him. Like, that's my friend. Like, he not no bad guy. This is our reality. This is what we grew up around. You know what I'm saying? Drugs being sold on every corner, liquor stores on every other corner.
Facts.
Like, that's our reality. So you know, when things like that happen, you know, crime happen, somebody got to go to prison for it. And then one thing that the police do rely on is, if you didn't do it, tell us who did it.
If they don't do that.
Yeah, if you don't do that, then you wearing it.
And that's the crazy part. And that's some of the things that I be trying to help people understand too, because a lot of times I've had different guests on here and I'll put clips up and on different platforms, especially on TikTok, there'll be a bunch of people who make certain comments and they'll say things like, you know, you guys are not really going through that type of stuff anymore. You know, it's not, racism is don't exist and these different things. And then, you know, you they don't get it, right? Because they never had to live in fear. Right. Because there's so many different things that come along with living in fear. Right. Not that you have a fear of living. Right. But what you do is you have a fear of freedom. Yeah. Because in your case, that's what happened. Your freedom was taken from you. And, you know, ultimately, though, for you, the way that it seemed like it worked out, this was an avenue to your purpose. Right. Because, you know, out of hundreds of applicants, yours being the first, and from what you've gone through, this was an avenue. So let's talk a little bit about how life was for you in the beginning when you first went to prison, like knowing that you just had a daughter, and how did that work out for you? Did the family dynamic support you through this as far as your children's parent, I mean, your child's mom and stuff like that?
Yeah, for the most part. But she was young. We were both young. She never got in the way of me seeing my daughter. So mm-hmm. as the time went on, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, she growing up, you know, like at the end of the day, I got a 60-year prison sentence. So it's like, and I always, you know, encouraged her, like, you know, live your life. You know, if you find somebody who you find interesting and he's treating you well and, you know, doing good, go after that. And I'm saying, like, I never wanted to hold her back. So that was a part of my maturity as I was, because I didn't know when I was coming home. I just right. always asked her to not get in the way of me seeing my daughter and things like that. And she didn't. But that was the hardest thing, man. Me trying to be a father from prison, that was the hardest thing I had to deal with in there.
I can't imagine, bro. Especially not when she was 30 days old when you went in. Like, she had no way of knowing you, bro, like, at all. So, so as you're going through this whole thing, right, by being, you know, in prison at a young age, how did it change? Did you feel like it changed you as a person? How did you have to become? Because if you had to be hard on the street, I'm sure some people say you have to be even harder in prison to make sure that you can maintain certain type of dignity for yourself. So how was your experience by being in there?
Well, being 18 years old, I went to the Trenton State. You know, that's the... We call that the wall. That's the last stop, bro. Like, people don't come home from there. So obviously you're scared. You're afraid. You don't know what to expect. You hear all these stories, things like that. But, you know, me growing up, I was always a likable kid. I always, you know, stayed in my lane, mind my business. So I knew that I wasn't really going to have no issues. And I mean, but again, you're in prison. So you're always going to have people that try you. You know what I'm saying? They see you young. You know, you pray. You know what I'm saying? Like, you pray. They fill you out, try to see what they can get from you, see if, you know, extortion and all that other type of stuff. You know what I mean? And thank God that I didn't have to go through any real hardships in prison. So I just mind my business, man. Stay focused on my case. I will say that, you know, it turned out like the point you made as far as it helped develop me and ultimately walk in my purpose, because things could have got worse. I'm talking about, I've seen guys my age mentally lose their mind, you know, to the medication in there. Like, they can't do the time. You know what I mean? So that always allowed me to use it as strength. Like, damn, like, that ain't going to be me. Like, I want to make it home and still have all my faculties in place. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to really use that. I'm talking about, you call a home and you, like, dudes you get close with, I mean, they call it, you know, nutting up, like, bro, nutting up in there. Like, he don't even know, like, what's going on. I mean, dudes become so infatuated with just, like, the time. You know what I'm saying? They, you know, 60 years, that's all you really know. Until you get that time back, that's your number. You can imagine having people in your life, especially once you start getting denied those appeals, you like women, you know what I'm saying? You still try to maintain relationships with women throughout the time and, you know, just friends and family. And, you know, it's tough out here. I see it. So people start falling off. People start, you know, counting you out. It's like, damn, like, I love you, you know, everything, but I gotta worry about me. I gotta keep it moving. And that's the worst feeling in the world, bro. Like, being in there for something that you didn't do, and for majority of the people, they really going off of what I tell them, because they don't know. Yeah, they don't know if you really innocent or not. Like, yo, I really ain't do that. They hear you, but these courts is denying you, saying like, we don't believe you innocent. That's just a tough situation, man. I don't wish that on nobody. And I was able to meet a ton of different people that was in there, that's still in there, that's also innocent. And I still try to, you know, be a voice for them and try to get back. Now, July 9th would be my four-year anniversary being free.
Dang, bro.
Yeah, 4 years, man.
4 years, man. I mean, like, wow, yo. And here's the thing for me, man. Like, whenever I was thinking about it, you know, bro, like, what you went through, man, was, like I said, it's really unfortunate, right? And you were, you know, you missed your family. And, of course, being a dad, you missed, you know, in the growing of your daughter and stuff like that. But then sometimes I look at it, too, like, you know, some of the things that people go through on the outside when they're not in a situation where they're sitting down, where they can't really be blamed for no one else's life, right? To be blamed for the way other people's lives has turned out, that is foul. Like, that's something that is hard. You know, I'm not saying it's harder than a person who has to deal with a situation like you. I'm just saying, though, in those times, you know, it's just about your survival and people, you know, checking it from that perspective, but they can't necessarily blame you, right, for anything that's going on in their life, the decisions they make and stuff like that. Now, but being on the outside and then being a person that tries to do as much as you can for people and is never enough, and having to wear that jacket, it's almost as if you might as well be gone somewhere, because whatever you do is never enough, no matter what you do. That's a terrible feeling within itself as well. And that's why I try to tell a lot of brothers, man, when they get together, like, don't compare war stories. Try to be empathetic to the ex-person's story, right? Because you just never know. Whatever they've gone through, it was just for them, right? And for you, it was for you. But that's how we should be able to, as brothers, man, we should be able to have a different level of empathy for each other. And that's one thing that we lack for each other, right? Because we got this fake, what it is supposed to be a man type thing, that we look at another neighbor like, oh, man, all right, well, look, you made it. Yo, you survived. That's all that matters. It's like, hold on, fam.
Right.
Like, I suffered through that.
Yeah.
This is why I'm giving back to people. This is why I dedicate my life to trying to give people a platform or give people an ear or whatever I can do on my end, is because of so many times that nobody will listen to me.
For sure. Right? I tell a lot of guys still in there, you know, I still get phone calls from, you know, guys I've built relationships with. You know, these my brothers. Like, it was difficult for me to come home and embrace someone who left me for dead, in a sense.
Sheesh.
Right? So you talk about family, friends, and what most people do. They come home, old friends, family members, they embrace you, they hug you, throw a little party for you, and it's all like nothing ever happened. I couldn't do that. So that's why I wound up, you know, moving to North Carolina, and I got away. You know, my wife, you know, I'm married, I got three kids, and, You know, I even have an estranged relationship with my oldest daughter in a sense. I mean, we still communicate, but she blamed me for, you know, just certain things. You know what I'm saying? I came home, I stayed in Jersey probably for like a year before I left. Jersey ain't had nothing for me. I didn't feel safe in Jersey. You know, I still got, you know, civil cases going on up there. You know, we suing the state and stuff like that. And you just never know. They probably try to plant something on you, all that stuff. I just wanted to get away. I made a decision that was best for me. But our relationship is suffering from that. I mean, and, you know, people sort of realize that having a 60-year sentence, you never know. Me personally, I never knew if I was ever going to have the opportunity to have another kid again.
True.
Be with another woman again. True. None of those things. So to come home and, you know, now you blessed to have these things, it's like, it's just, you just got to be grateful, man. You got to be grateful. You got to keep pushing. You got to use that as motivation. And again, I tell guys in there, y'all coming home to problems, man. They ain't got no bills in there. They ain't got no real, they main problem is just their freedom. You know what I'm saying? And that's priceless. I'm not downplaying that at all.
Right, right.
You come out here in this real world, I'm talking about, you have a week or two, everybody's all love, bracelet, but people is expecting you to deliver.
Listen, that's exactly why I said what I said about the fact that, you know, when people are in a position where they got to sit down somewhere, and even not even in the sense of having to be in a situation like you or having to go off to college or having to go off to the military, whatever puts them in a position where they're not in that, right in the front of people, they don't understand how much of a burden that you don't feel whenever you're not to blame for people. And it's so crazy how people will look at you and blame you for something that you yourself could not help, right? And you know, having an estranged relationship with your children, especially in the sense of what they felt like they deserve, right? Because like you said earlier, you grew up in an area where none of your friends had their dads, right? And then me personally, I grew up where all my uncles and my dad, I mean, everybody was around. Now, they may not have been with the mother of the children that they had us with,
right?
But they was around, like, everywhere. It was no, we not going to be in the life. I'm talking about from pickups to just coming by to drop-offs to, they was always in our life. So I didn't grow up in a situation where I didn't have male presence. And another thing, too, about what I noticed, too, is that the bigger the family is, the closer the siblings are. So I noticed that too. So in my particular case, you know, on both sides, it's a lot of them, right? And so we grew up with that. But, you know, our children that we had to endure, because like you had to go be in a situation that took you away from your child. Then there's those of us who go through situations where it's just the other opposite parent that takes you away from the child, right? And you're fighting and you're fighting and you're going to court and you're doing all of these different things just to be a part of your child's life. At the same time, none of this stuff moves fast and it takes years. So in between all of this, you're just missing time with your child. Your child is growing further away from knowing you and knowing who you are. Right. And this is for people who are out here. This is why I'm saying about purpose. And I'm glad that you mentioned it, too, when it came to about your life, is that for those of us who go through stuff like that and we're looked at as the bad person, as the worst person in the world, as the statistic of being an absentee parent. Like, we'll never get to wear the jacket as the fighter. Right. The person that had to be motivated by the fact that they had a child out here, the one who had to go through the arguments, the yelling and the fighting, the ones who had to resort to the fact of it was either resulting to violence or me walking away.
Right.
You know, and so they'll never understand that until they get into a situation themselves where it's like that. But you don't wish that on your children, right?
Nah, that's real, man. That's definitely real. And all I could do is, you know, as a father, I always reach out, you know, try my best. It just seemed like everything, you know, you come home and then you feel like that people are holding you to like, oh, you got to make up for lost time. Oh, you owe me this. You know, you owe me this. You got to do this. You got to do that. Like, oh, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have to do anything. You get what I'm saying? Like, I came home again. She was 17. So I only got what, a year, 2 years before she, you know, grown. Now, right. I mean, like, you know, I didn't me having kids because a lot of people say, you know, I you should have waited. You had kids too quick. All this and I have my wife got pregnant like 6 months after we was together. But I'm like, I just did 16 and a half years. That's how long I was forced to wait. You get what I'm saying? But come on, like, but I just use that as motivation, man. You know, keep my family together, work on all those moments that I missed and, you know, try to pour into them what I wasn't able to pour into my oldest daughter.
Yeah, facts. And then, you know what I'm saying, on this end, man, I'm going to still pray for that relationship, bro, that you know, at some point she may can consider, you know, just what you've gone through, you know, and the fact that you was exonerated. So the exoneration should come to a lot of people that was in your life as the fact like, yo, fam was really innocent. Like he was innocent this whole time. He had to suffer through something. It wasn't his fault. Now, Will, that's the one thing about being a man. Like, you know, there's a lot of people that'll point out what's wrong with you in a heartbeat, but very few people will come back and apologize for being wrong about you. You know what I mean? Very few. Like, it takes a real mature person to come back like, outside of them just really pointing out what's wrong with you all the time. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. You didn't do that. But then when they are wrong about you, they're not going to come back and let you know, like, yo, listen, let me be honest with you. My bad, yo. I had this thought or I was thinking, and I was wrong. I really felt this way, but I was wrong. I apologize. Because some people don't know just how much of an apology helps with a person who mentally had to put a person that they love in a space of saying, damn, this person really left me out here, yo.
Yeah.
Like, I'd do anything for this person. And now I'm in this position and I'm fighting for my life in whatever way that can be. Yo, this person really left me out here, yo. Like, man, that's...
One of the most difficult... It was bittersweet, man, because when I got exonerated, the way the process went, I had a heads up, right? So I knew I was going, you know, have a hearing. We was going to have a hearing. The state, you know, they was going to submit the motion to dismiss and vacate and, you know, the whole process. But when it all was going down, we had one of the victim's mother, like, having a fit, you know, outside the courtroom because, of course, they got to inform her that, you know, we exonerating this man, you know, he's innocent. But imagine them telling her that after almost 17 years of the police swearing up and down that they had the right guy.
The whole time they had the wrong.
She didn't came to peace. She didn't came to peace with thinking that her child's murderer was off the street. But this whole time they had it wrong. Like, this is what's so sucky about our system, man. Like, they care about convictions. They don't care about whether it's true or false.
No. Mm-mm. Because our lives are not as important to them as they... you know, based on the power that they will. And a lot of it, you know, and this what goes back to us really checking ourselves, right? Because the reason why we want to open barbershops and we open rim shops and sneaker shops before we come together and open up, you know, and get into the politics of our cities and our states and learn even to start on the local level so we can help change some of these things. Because a lot of these laws and stuff that are in these places is because those people who is responsible for those laws are still staying in power because of our whole ignorance to the fact of what we feel like ain't us. You know, how many people in our community call, oh, I ain't into politics or I ain't into this and I ain't into that. But that don't mean that the shit ain't into you. And we are really to blame because, you know, for trillion-dollar spenders in this country for who we are as a group of people, but to not have nothing that we invest in as a group of people who have access to trillions of dollars is the reason why we still suffer and where we are, bro. We got to go through the worst things and we hate it, but we still, the mindset hasn't shifted.
Right.
And I think what it boils down to is like brothers like you, because we're going to get into your foundation and all of the things that you've been doing since being home, because man, you've done so much. You've only been home for 4 years. Well, it's coming up on 4 years. You got three children. You got, well, three more children, right? Or is it three, well, including?
Wife, yeah, it's three including my wife's. My the wife already had a daughter. So we got two together and then she had a daughter.
And she had a daughter, and then you got the oldest daughter.
Yes.
Right. So when you came home, yeah, you straight went, yeah, you ain't waste no time, fam. It was a bam. So what I'm saying to you is that in the mix of all the things that you've done in a short amount of time, it's a lot to be proud of, bro. And I don't know if you ever really sat back and just kind of looked at, you know, where you are in 4 years versus what you went through in 17 years. You know, your next 17 years from here should be life-changing in so many different ways for other people because of how much you've done in only 4 years, right? Let's talk a little bit about that, right? So coming home, because here's this thing about the jacket that you wear whenever you come home from a situation like you went through. Obviously, to meet a person as soon, that soon, or did you meet her before you went in? Is she somebody you knew?
We had history. We was childhood sweethearts, so we just reconnected when I came home.
There it is. So that's what I was going to say, because there are, in your situation, coming home and in the mix of it like that, it would take a lot, right? Because of a person who has to get to know you based on the fact of whether they, you know, they really get what you went through or not, right? So that was a good look too, that you was able to come to a familiar face and be able to continue life and move on from there. So let's talk a little bit about your transition from coming home. Did you feel institutionalized? Did you have to break a certain mentality for yourself in order to come through? Like, what was that like, your whole transition from getting out to getting free?
Man, prison, for one, you know, it's all men. So you're not really able to, you're not communicating with women like that on the regular, unless you, like I said, your little shorty you mess with over the phone, just family members, things like that. So coming out, and my first time at the mall, this was like different. Like I'm mixing and mingling with men and women, and I'm like, yo, like it just felt extremely weird, bro. And you know, you just keep it pushing. Nobody would like to admit that they're institutionalized, so it really would come from other people that see certain little traits that you have and habits that, you know, is not normal. But for the most part, I think I did very well with the adjustment. I fell in love with fitness in prison. That's one of the things that helped me stay strong mentally. So coming home, I made sure I, you know, continued that. No matter where I was at, I stayed, you know, waking up early, going to the gym. You know, those are some key habits that I stayed, made sure that stuck with me.
True.
You know, but it just was difficult because I didn't have no friends, you know, so right. Having to start that all over, you know, it's funny too, because I came home, I was exonerated 5 days before my 35th birthday.
Whoa. So
it's so weird, man. How everything
happened. Synergy.
It's beautiful, man. But coming home to no friends, and then imagine a 35-year-old man, like you actually making friends. You got to make friends at that age. Like,
right.
You got your day ones, you know, y'all solid. Like ain't no, you know, it's all about elevating now. You feel me? But
true.
You know, that was real difficult. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, as a grown man, it's like, damn, like, it's kind of like lonely. You feel me now? I got my wife, you feel me? But we didn't like move together until like a year after we was, you know, dating. So it was a right. Long relationship. So I just stayed in the gym, man, continued to work, continued to find my way. And it was very, very difficult, but I had to go through that because I couldn't go back to, you know, those faces that I didn't feel comfortable around. Like that would have been a mistake. You know what I'm saying? And then just the peer pressure. You know, you come home, everybody smoking, everybody drink. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't do none of that stuff. So right. It's just like Everybody party. Everybody's still doing the same stuff. Everybody's still doing the same stuff. They just, they aged. But true. Mentally, they didn't change.
In the same space, right? Yo, listen, bro. There's a lot of people, man, who, like, whenever they've gone through something, they got a mindset of blame. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because they be like, yo, this person did the reason why I'm there. If it wasn't for this, if it wasn't for that, all I had to. So the fact that your mindset was real positive and the fact that even wanting to make friends, because technically, you know, friends is, I mean, not totally, but friends is what got you in this position in the first place, mm-hmm. right? So the fact that you were still even open to it, and there's, even in regular relationships, yo, there's a lot of things, you know, and a lot of women have this thing that they do too, is that whenever they've gone through a relationship with a person and it was bad, mm-hmm. they change the good parts of them.
Right,
because they feel like the good parts of them was what another person took for granted, not knowing that the person that you were doing good for was a hurt person in the first place too. So it wasn't what you were doing for them. That's just who you are. It was the fact of who they are. So that's another thing too that affects people as well too. Whenever they're going through things, it changes them in that perspective where things that were them, they no longer allow that to be them, the good parts of them, because they feel like that's the part that they gave to someone and they didn't do it, right? And so for you, the fact that you came out and was willing to like, yo, I want to meet new people and whatever, because, you know, I met you all in the gym, or I met you in the gym. Mm-hmm. So when you were saying the thing about the gym, that's because I could vouch, like, yo, whenever I've been seeing you, that's how I even met you, was in the gym. So even for both of us, like, even though it wasn't a thing that we've gone through in the same similar thing, but the fact that we had to find a way to focus mentally on our physical and our spiritual at the same time, and then working out is just one of them things where, you know, keeping yourself in a space of discipline will allow you to get through things that most people will give up on because it seems hard for them. Because lifting weights and doing all this other shit, it ain't easy.
Yeah. And the consistency with it.
And it hurt.
See,
yeah,
because that's what people give up on, man. But you know, just back to the transition, man. Like, you know, learning the iPhones, the GPS, you know, the entire world. And I'm saying again, like, I didn't have no education in prison. Like, you know, Trenton don't give no education. So you had to really, like, a lot of the things that I was able to develop myself with was self-taught. I mean, you really picking it. I didn't read hood books. Those hood novels and, you know, all those Dutchies and, you know,
Donald Goins and all them.
I tried my best to surround myself with older guys, because clearly the older guys, they the ones that was giving you the jewels, the information. Like, the younger guys, they still on the street with it. Younger guys still trying to, you know, it's weed in prison. They drinking in prison. They popping pills in prison. So I tried to stay away from them as much as possible, because we wasn't on the same thing.
Yeah.
Different. I mean, I just stay positive, stay hungry, man. No matter what, you know, it was blows after blows with them appeals getting denied, and then, you know, I got my gift, man. And since, like I said, July 9th, it'd be 4 years, and they only released one other person since then. And this one other person, a cop, actually came forward in that case, and which helps them, you know, speed up the process with him. But It's stuff like that don't happen for no reason, man. You know, if I ain't believe in God before, I definitely would have believed in him now, because I was chosen, man. He handpicked me for a reason, for a purpose. You know, you don't really understand it or figure it out at the moment, but that stuff you gotta continue to dig deep with and be like, nah, you gotta walk in purpose.
Exactly. And that's where the word consistency comes in at. Right. Because once you realize that you're on a path to your purpose, like, and I know I can't speak for a lot of people, because I don't really know if they feel the same way. But for me, it's an overwhelming feeling of push that comes with it.
Yeah.
Right. Sure. It's like, it's overwhelming, bro. It's like, it's one of them things that whenever you wake up and you go to sleep, it's like, whenever you think about, yo, man, I just want to take a nap today, or I just want to go home, I don't even want to go to the gym, whatever it is, you know, that thing that says, nah, but look at how you feel, like that extra small voice that give you that push to keep going. Because one thing about it though, bro, in these positions that we're in, their motivation don't come from people. Mm-hmm. Right? Like people are not paying attention to you to the point where they can just recognize that you might need your cup filled up a little bit. Mm-hmm. You gotta go ahead and fill your own cup up when you're on your purpose. And that's one of the things too that's tough about a purpose-driven life, right? Because you gotta keep filling your own cup up. Because if it don't happen, it's really your fault. It's nobody else's.
Right.
Right. And then for you, like you didn't go through them 17 years and for things to work out for you the way that it worked out up until almost your birthday getting out, up until, you know, reconnecting with a high school sweetheart into continuing to build a family, getting a second chance to be a dad. Like, yo, listen, you would have never not been a father, right? But to be a dad.
Yes.
Getting the second chance. So the way that all of these things worked out, and then out of all the people that was behind you, them people didn't get the same opportunity. Your version of this purpose, bro, wasn't for nothing. So all the things that you got your hand on right now with consistency is going to be successful, and it's going to help a lot of other people because, like you said, your road to your purpose, you could pretty much see that you went through this for a reason. More so than you went through it because you just happen to be a black man in the inner city.
Absolutely.
Facts. So, look, bro, we all are going through something similar. I want you to understand that from a fact. I want you to know, like, yo, the same, it's a lot. Only difference is coming up on this platform, you got to allow your guests to have as much of the room as possible. Can't come up here and talk about your damn self, right? So, but The struggle, guys, I want you to know, we share the same thing in the struggle, bro, of how you had to find your way to the purpose. So much loss.
Yeah.
That comes with your purpose, yo. You lose a lot. People, places, and things.
It's so crazy, bro, because, I mean, not to get, you know, religious or anything like that, but... Right. For anyone who's familiar with the Bible, it really is like every prophet suffered, bro.
Facts.
I
mean,
so I try to tell people now, like, what makes you better than them? What makes Facts. You really think that if he took some of the best men, prophets was the best men that ever walked the face of the earth. If he took them through struggles and hardship the way that he did with them, what makes us think that we're not? Like, we so much better than them. Like, why am I going through this? Why am I going through that? Like, you got to try to understand that you're going through it for a reason. You're being tested. I mean, and God definitely don't put too much on you that you can't bear. And I mean, but we check out. We check out before we even, like, finish the fight.
Exactly. And you know, because we don't see ourselves as the people in the Bible, bro.
Yeah, and I got a buddy, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's somebody who was incarcerated with me, and he came home like a year before me. Like, I just found out he had he committed suicide, bro. And it's just like I don't be quick to judge what people is going through, because if you got so much on your plate to where though you take your own life, bro, that's deep, man.
Yeah, bro. That's and you think about that though, bro. It's like, yo, you get to a place where you've gone through the worst and you made it out, and then you still feel like you don't want to be here. Mm-hmm. Like, and it all boils down to what you feel like is around you. Because I think that, you know, a lot of us go through things. Abandonment is one of the things that we suffer through as men. Like, we don't like to speak on it as much, but abandonment issues, a lot of men, especially growing up in where we grow up at, We got to go through abandonment issues, because we just happen to grow up in an era where, you know, the parents, they was getting high and they was still partying, yo. You get what I'm saying? So, you know, the abandonment was a real thing for us growing up, man. And so I think when it comes down to it, we go through situations and we feel like we want to get that, our cup filled, man. And yo, I'm telling you, the people who you think love you, they'll show you quickly how much they really, you know, hey, listen, if it ain't what you're doing for me,
yeah,
you know, and you know, and that's one of the saddest parts about it. So let's talk about your foundation real quick, bro. Like, what? So you got through, you went through everything, you built your family, you know, you're starting to build up everything in your life now. What? Tell us a little bit about your foundation and what made you start it, besides the obvious.
Yeah, well, the Rare One Foundation is something that, you know, everything is not, you know, finished in touches now, but I'm also I'm a board member to the Center of Actual Innocence down here in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. I write, you know, I have a ton of people reaching out to me just for help, you know, advice, like, you know, my son, just some type of loved one of theirs is going through a similar situation that I went through. So, you know, I don't be so quick to jump on as far as support wise. You know, I tell them I'm willing to have a conversation with the individual that's, you know, incarcerated, a mother, a father, you know, somebody who's real in depth on the details of the case. And depending on if I feel like, you know, they was at least wrongfully convicted, I done wrote letters to Innocence Projects on their behalfs and things like that. But I'm trying to put together like a coalition with other exonerees to make, you know, all of our voice one voice, you know, so we could be able to shine more light on other wrongfully convicted cases, because it's a ton of them, man. They say it's like 2.5 million people currently incarcerated in the U.S. Studies show that between 4 and 6 of those, 4 and 6% of those individuals are actually innocent. That's roughly around 115,000 people, bro.
Wow.
And wow. Of course, that's just what studies show. Now, I mean, some studies show it could be up to 10%. So it just needs to be more light on it, man. I think, like you mentioned earlier, a lot of people in our community feel like, well, I'm not affected by that, so I'm not going to speak out on it. I'm not going to support it. I'm not going to. But we're all affected by it. We all got some type of brother, cousin, nephew, niece, whatever that's in those streets that's been affected by this stuff.
Yeah, and I wanna connect you, bro, because here on this platform, bro, I've been. Listen, I've had so many different, and I got more people scheduled to come on that have gone through so many different things and they're in the legal system to a point where, because they're still fighting, you know, a lot of them are fighting for children that are no longer here. I mean, like not even living anymore based on things that's happened. And so I want to connect you with them too, man, because it got to be more awareness around just of it all. Right? Like the awareness of the fact that there are people who are, you know, convicted innocently. And there are also people who suffer through things based on the way the judicial system is set up in these particular states. And, you know, the more people speak out and the more people can have intelligent conversations and actually make it a niche to the point where, you know, the energy that everybody puts in individually for themselves, if they collectively put it together, it could bring more awareness and move things around, right? Yeah. So I'm going to connect you too with a group of people, a group of parents, and other people that are in the mix, you know what I mean? Because we need lawyers involved too,
yeah,
right? Sure. Because at the end of the day, it's just certain things that, you know, as much as we love to help on the outside without that law degree, it gets stopped at certain places, right? But it's a lot that civilians can do. It's just the fact that, you know, we need those people as well, too. So, yeah, man, I'm going to connect y'all, man, and we're going to put some things together because we got to continue to find ways to help each other because, like you said, a person may not be faced with it personally, but it could be them.
Yeah. And, you know, for any of the viewers who, you know, we have a story, a documentary out on WeTV. We had some producers, you know, put together a 3-part series. It's called, you know, the show Love After Lockup.
Love After Lockup. I heard of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they did a spinoff called Innocent After Lockup. And I was actually the featured, you know, show. So, you know, it's called Innocent After Lockup, episode Tehran. And it's streaming on WeTV. You know, people can go see it, you know, watch it or whatever. And I also wrote a book. I wrote a book called Daddy's Promise. It's available on Amazon. It's called Daddy's Promise Reunited by Love, A Daughter's Journey. And it's really a story that's told through my daughter's lens.
Mm.
You know, how just the things that she suffered, you know, just growing up without her father and, you know, how she was lost and confused and some things and then how we was, you know, reunited and things like that. So,
facts.
Yeah.
Nah, but that's love, bro. We gotta get more information about that and do more to it. So, man, we gotta tag links to your Amazon, link to your book, man, so people can go out there and support it, man. Because, yo, it's a lot of us, like I said, as dads that has gone through things with children in their lives. And I think for the most of us, we wish that it just didn't go the way that it did, right? So
sure.
That's really fly that you're doing that, man. So before we get out of here, bro, let them in. Anything else you want them to know? Because I know you do a few other things, too. I know we was talking a little bit about how you help people get funding for their businesses as well, too. You've been rolling since you've been out, bro.
Oh, yeah, man. That's one of the things that also motivate me and keep me pushing, because now I walk in rooms, bro, and I guess one of the things that never left this leaving prison is hungry for information, hungry for skills and knowledge on so many different things. So, nice. You know, I have a credit repair company. It's called Hills Consulting Agency. And, you know, we help people fix and build their credit, you know, help them go get funding, new business owners, brand new LLCs, all those things. So, you know, anybody, you know, interested or whatever, I can, you know, shoot you the links and, you know, things like that. They could DM me. We're in the process of finishing the website and stuff like that, but I'm definitely, you know, rolling and getting some things done.
All right, back. So for all y'all that's watching tonight and all y'all that's going to watch the playback, man, y'all know the vibes. If y'all got LLCs, new businesses, you need credit repair, because this is the best time for y'all to start investing. Like I told y'all before, the tariff thing was nothing for you guys to be afraid of. You worried about pricing and all that other stuff? Don't. You know what I mean? Because we shouldn't be spending excessively anyway. We should only be focused on the necessities, especially during a time of turmoil, right? But look, if y'all ain't do nothing else, y'all should have paid attention to the commodities. That's what the tariffs was all about. Commodities. Commodities are the day-to-day things that we use every day. I had Barbara jumping off and on tonight, Barbara P. Warren. And I want y'all to check her out, because with her and her crew, what they do is they help people find their way through the futures, and they trade in through futures, right? And so in the futures markets and commodities market is what we want to pay attention to, because the onions, the potatoes, all these things that they talking about was being tariffed, they're making money on. And for those of us, we just going to the grocery stores not knowing that we could make money in between going to the grocery store to where your groceries are free. You just got to know the play, because that's why the elite stay the elite. You ever notice that whenever they go places, they seem like they don't have to spend money? Why? Because of wherever they go, they've invested in the trail for it to get there. So they could go to a restaurant when they invested in the tomatoes, when they invested in the onions, when they invested in the lettuce, when they invested in that. So every time they go somewhere, they make money. And that's what I'm saying about us as a group of people. We got to learn how to economically put ourselves in a mindset where we understand how money works. It's not for us to hold on and consume and hoard and look like something. It's for us to use as a tool to send it out there to bring friends back. And that's what we got to pay attention to, because they're trying to crash the dollar purposely. And if they get y'all in the central digitalized currency, a one that they create without you understanding the blockchain on your own, you're going to get caught out there, y'all, to the point where you can't even jaywalk. They'll be able to take money from you. Now, look, it's a way for you to get yourself free right now. You just got to educate yourself. So, first of all, if you guys are into credit and stuff like that, make sure y'all hit my boy Teron up. Other than that, you guys need to learn about the centralized currency. You got to learn about it, y'all. Y'all got to learn about the blockchain. You got to go out there and understand what tokenization is. And you got to understand what dApps. You got to understand what all of these things are, y'all, so you could be ahead of the curve. The person who created this stuff did not have the elites in mind. Remember that. It doesn't matter how they spin it. They had us in mind. For those of us that have been at the bottom for the longest, they had us in mind when they created this. Do not live in fear. Pay attention to it. Learn it. Financially free yourself. All right? So, yo, you got any last words that you want to give to the people out here, bro, before we get out of here?
Nah, just big shout out, man. I appreciate you having me. Continue to raise awareness to not only wrongful convictions, to a lot of the other injustices that's going on out here. Thanks for the platform. You know, I'll be checking you out. Love it. Definitely continue to grow. Much success, bro.
Yeah, I appreciate it, bro. And yo, listen, man, Yeah, yeah, y'all boys. And then, yeah, Barbara is one that y'all want to contact, man. If y'all guys want to get into the future and commodities trading, y'all want to learn how to maneuver, y'all want to learn how to change your life, build generational wealth one stream at a time, I want y'all to holler at Barbara. But, yeah, man, definitely, man, I want to salute you too, bro, for being cool, man. Because like I said, you know, most of the time I be in the gym, I just stay to myself. I don't really do a whole lot of talking to a lot of people. And, you know, the fact that, you know, you were willing to even, you know, have a conversation and then, yo, that's what happened. And then your homeboy, y'all both cool and shit. So, yeah, man, y'all continue to keep pushing, man. Much success to you too as well. And, yo, like I said, man, I see you in the consistency belt, man, because that's what we're going to be, man. We're going to get right out here, yo. Right. Yeah. So before we get out of here, y'all, to all y'all that watched tonight, definitely appreciate y'all, man. Y'all know the vibes. Everybody that gave comments tonight, I definitely appreciate that. Everybody that shared the live, everybody that left a reaction, I see them up there. Thank y'all so much, man. And y'all know what we're doing each and every week right here on Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Your boy, we're going to be in the building. We're going to have some of the world's most interesting people on here. And we're going to keep giving this information out to the people, all right? So y'all know the vibe, man. I say this each and every week. If you don't believe in yourself, nobody else will. So until next week, y'all, peace.
Take care, bro.